You're back listening to Green Left Radio, and you were just listening to a track. The track was Dana Dan by this Indian folk metal band called Bloody Woods. I hope you enjoyed that. And we are now excited to have Nick McLennan, who's a journalist, to talk about Kanaki and the pro-independence protests happening in so-called New Caledonia. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Good morning, Chloe.
Good morning. And we were all at a Free Kanaki rally last night, so it's good to, you know, maybe get your insight into a bit of the background into what is happening on the ground there, because there were, as we understand it, there were peaceful protests that had been happening across the country preceding in the preceding weeks to some of the violence and the curfew. So it would be good to get your insights on that.
Well, there's a range of political organisations, community organisations, Indigenous peoples groups campaigning for a new political status for New Caledonia, which is called Kanaki by the Indigenous people. It's, you know, one of Australia's closest neighbours off the coast of Queensland. And for decades, there have been coalitions, particularly the Kanak Socialist National Liberation Front, the FLNKS, that have been calling for a pathway to an independent and sovereign state. The current crisis has been triggered by an attempt by the French government under President Emmanuel Macron to force people at the negotiating table to develop a new political statute. He thought that by changing the voting rules for who could vote for local political institutions, he could force the independence movement into a new agreement. And legislation passed through both houses of parliament in France still hasn't been ratified officially. And indeed, last night, Macron, as he left New Caledonia after just 18 hours on the ground, has withdrawn that legislation, saying that it'll be put on hold. So the people in New Caledonia have suffered weeks of rioting, of clashes with police on the basis of this failed French government policy.
Yeah, and so, Nick, what can you tell us about some of the events that are happening in so-called New Caledonia right now, especially in contrast to, I guess, how the kind of mainstream media have been characterising them?
One of the problems is that the information is difficult at the moment, simply because France has instituted a state of emergency. It's only the second time in New Caledonia's history that this has been done. And that gives extensive powers to the French authorities, the French High Commission and police, to ban gatherings, demonstrations, activities on public spaces. They had the right to put people under house arrest now. They have moved to ban TikTok, arguing that it was used by young people during the clashes that we saw, particularly last week, every night, despite the curfew on the streets. France has deployed now nearly 3,000 ex-police, Garde Mobile, paramilitary police, the infamous CRS riot squads, who are heavily weaponized for urban conflict, even elite units of a small counter-terrorist and protective service unit called RAID. And Macron said yesterday that these police forces would stay to maintain calm, to maintain, quote, republican order for as long as needed, you know, even up to the Olympics. Now, that's going to be in sort of late July, August, September. So, you know, Macron is talking about maintaining the state of emergency in the short term, but police deployments for as long as it takes.
Yes, so hello, Nick. This is Rob Zocchi from Socialist Alliance Green Left. The French colonies in the Pacific always struck me as, in most cases, the indigenous populations, apart from a small minority, prefer to be connected to France for economic reasons. They probably end up doing better. But I think this is not the case in New Caledonia, Kanaki, where a whole series of things have happened to make life a lot worse for the indigenous population. And I would hazard a guess that it's to do with economic crisis. The French government, you know, is itself in economic crisis, as is all of Europe. And so in New Caledonia, Kanaki, they're not really able to take advantage of any connection to Europe. Would you agree with that?
Well, not quite. It's you know, in fact, people are being asked to vote for the European Parliament on the 6th of June. They're not going to. But, you know, this is the reality. The Republican order that Macron talks about is keeping these dependencies within the French Republic. But there is strong resistance. You know, the current president of New Caledonia, for the first time in 40 years, is a pro-independence Kanak politician. Just last year, the same thing happened in French Polynesia. The current government presidency is held by the Tawhini Huaretira, an independence party. You know, over many decades, there have been campaigns for self-determination, for independence. France has tried to hold back the tide, but the current crisis shows that the Kanak people will not be let out. Certainly, the economic connections are vitally important. New Caledonia has crucial reserves of strategic metals like nickel, which is vital for everything from armaments to electric car batteries. There's been a long struggle over trying to control the mining and export of ore and the smelting of ore. And there's been a real economic crisis, particularly since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, around energy prices, around industrial disputes and so on. France does want to control the enormous maritime resources of the Pacific. You know, France is surrounded by, you know, Netherlands, Belgium, England, Spain. It has a very small exclusive economic zone. These are the zones created by the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea. But in the Pacific, there are 7 million square kilometres of exclusive economic zone claimed by French sovereignty. And that's got all sorts of implications in the 21st century around maritime resources, fisheries, seabed minerals, deep sea oil and gas. You know, France hangs on as an Indo-Pacific power, as a colonial power, even into the 21st century.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. And for listeners just tuning in, we are speaking with Nick McLennan, who's a journalist in the Pacific Islands and also Green Left contributor. We're talking about the Kanak people, the indigenous people of New Caledonia and what's happening there. Nick, the Kanak pro-independence leaders are saying that these amendments that are being pushed by the French government undermine the political status of indigenous Kanak people, but it's not just about voting rights, as I understand it. What are some of the demands of the Kanak community, and how have the Pacific Islands responded, including some of the indigenous Pacific political activists across Oceania?
For a long time, there's been a call for the move to change political status towards political independence, towards sovereignty. The Namir Accord, first signed 25 years ago in 1998, created a pathway towards that, but culminating in a series of three referendums between 2018 and 2021. The last one was rammed through in the middle of the COVID pandemic by the French government against the wishes of not just Kanak leaders, but many others. And at that time, Pacific Island leaders, there was a monitoring mission from the Pacific Islands Forum, the main regional organization, and they said that vote had no credibility or legitimacy because of the way it was conducted by the French government. That's been a long-standing position. And the FLNKS, the Independence Coalition, is actually a member of a group called the Melanesian Spearhead Group. This is a sub-regional network that links together the independent states of Papua New Guinea, Vanuatu, Solomons, Fiji. So the MSG particularly has been very vocal this week, calling on the French government to withdraw its electoral reform legislation, calling for an end to conflict because of the incredible damage in Namibia to businesses and jobs, but more importantly, calling for France to extend the dialogue towards a pathway forward to independence. What's striking is, you know, this will come up at the Pacific Islands Forum leaders meeting, which will be held in the last week of August in Tonga, the Kingdom of Tonga. Albanese will go as Australia's Prime Minister, as occurs every year. But Australia has been backing French policy in the region. under successive governments, Australia has a strategic partnership with France, one that was certainly disrupted by the AUKUS decision to dump a submarine contract with France and buy American instead. But Deputy Prime Minister Richard Marles has been actively engaged in strengthening military cooperation with the French. And that's caused a lot of anger in the Pacific amongst churches, amongst citizens groups who want to support their, as they say, support their brothers and sisters in Kanaki, New Caledonia.
Yeah, I want to kind of ask a bit more, inquire a bit more about that. What is the kind of position of, I guess, most of the sort of Western governments? Because I guess one, I did sort of hear one interesting thing at a solidarity rally that happened yesterday with Kanaki, which is basically that there's a certain strategic interest for France to kind of maintain some control of so-called New Catalonia, which has to do with, you know, this whole sort of Western trade war against China. And I guess, yeah, I want to hear some of your comments on the Western government's response and then how it fits in with those sort of issues in the Pacific.
Well, as we know, there's significant strategic competition between the United States and China in the region dubbed the Indo-Pacific and including the Pacific Islands. Australia is lined up, obviously, with the United States through AUKUS, the Quad, the Blue Dot Network, a whole lattice work of networks designed to constrain Chinese influence in this region. France has positioned itself as a Pacific power because of its colonial control over New Caledonia, French Polynesia, Wallis and Futuna. I was reporting last year on President Macron's visit to Noumea in July, and he talked about, you know, how the reserves of nickel in New Caledonia were an asset not just for the New Caledonians, but for Europe and France. So France has some contradictions with the United States, shown by, you know, the battle over whether Australia would buy French or buy American for its defence equipment for the Australian Defence Force. But there's been a strong coalition building across the region. And I think this week has shown that France is actually causing instability for regional security. I suspect that in Washington, in Wellington, in Canberra, there'll be a lot of discussion about whether backing France in its colonial policy actually helps or hinders the broader strategic aim of constraining Chinese influence. Certainly across the Pacific, community groups, trade unions, churches are speaking out about French colonialism in ways that hasn't really happened in recent years.
Yeah, it's been really good having you on the show this morning, Nick, but we are running out of time. So to conclude this interview, it would be interesting to hear from you possibly a little bit about the parallels between what is happening to the indigenous Kanak people in Kanaky, New Caledonia, and the first people here, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders here of so-called Australia.
Well, it's interesting. I was talking to a friend in New Caledonia at the time of the Voice referendum in Australia, because New Caledonia has had for 25 years a body called the Kanak Customary Senate. It's a structure created to allow Indigenous Kanak chiefs to provide advice to the government and Congress of New Caledonia. It's exactly the structure that was there. And people in New Caledonia that I spoke to, Kanak friends, who were really shocked that Anglo-Australians had voted against this. Obviously, some Indigenous people in Australia were opposed to the Voice, but there are connections across the region. You know, a central issue is the right to self-determination. You know, when French politicians or indeed Australian politicians talk about democracy and things like that, colonialism by its very nature is anti-democratic. And all around the Pacific, there are struggles by Indigenous peoples and supporters in these countries, not just the Indigenous groups, calling for change of political status. You see it in West Papua as people mobilise against Indonesian administration. Bougainville is currently heading towards a crisis because Papua New Guinea has been, by and large, dragging its feet to implement pledges that they've made following the 2019 referendum, where bougainvilleans by 97% voted for independence. New government in French Polynesia, President Moatai Brotherson will be visiting Australia in September. Long-standing independence campaigner. You know, things are on the move in these issues as Pacific peoples want everyone to focus on their agendas. Development, oceans management, climate. Those are the security issues that challenge people in the Pacific. And the geopolitical agendas that are driven, you know, by the major powers don't mesh with their priorities and their aspirations for the future.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. And I'm so glad you mentioned Bougainville, the freedom movement happening there. And thanks for joining us today. It is time to stand in solidarity with the Kanak people and demand an end to this cycle of oppression and injustice. So thanks for being with us on the show.
Thanks a lot, Chloe.